seeing all this killing. Purple, when demonic persons engage in animal killing, the demigods or devotees of the Lord are very much afflicted by the killing. Demonic civilization in this modern age maintains various types of slaughterhouses all over the world. Rascal slamis and yogis encourage foolish persons to go on eating flesh and killing animals, and at the same time continue the so-called meditation and mystical practices of very ghastly. And a compassionate person, namely a devotee of the Lord, becomes very happy to see such a sight. The hunting process is also carried on in a different way, as we have already explained. Hunting women, drinking different types of liquor, becoming intoxicated, killing animals, enjoying sex, all serve as the basis of modern civilization. Vaishnavas are very happy to see such a situation in the world, and therefore they are very busy spreading this Krishna conscious movement. The devotees are pained to see the hunting and killing of animals in the forest, the wholesale slaughter of animals in slaughterhouses, and the exploitation of young girls and brothels that function under different names as public societies. Being very much compassionate upon the killing of animals and sacrifice of the great sage, Narada began his instructions to King Prashnavarsha. In these instructions, Narada Muni explained that devotees like him are very much afflicted by all the killing that goes on in human society. Not only are sainted persons afflicted by this killing, but even God himself is afflicted, and therefore comes down in the incarnation of Lord Buddha. Jayadev Goswami therefore sings, Sadaya Hridaya Darshita Pashu Gatam. Simply to stop the killing of animals, Lord Buddha compassionately appeared. Some rascals put forward the theory that an animal has no soul or is something like dead stone, and this way rationalize that there is no sin in animal killing. Actually, animals are not dead stone, but killers of animals are stone hearted. Consequently, no reason or philosophy appeals to them. They continue keeping slaughterhouses and killing animals in the forest. The conclusion is that one who does not care for instructions of saintly persons like Narada and his dissipative obsession surely falls in the category of nashta pragya, and thus goes to hell. In this way, King Paranjana killed many animals, including rabbits, boars, buffalo, bison, black deer, porcupines, and other game animals. After killing and killing the king, he came very tired. For a part of person in the mode agents commits many sinful activities, and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Shri Rupa Goswami explains that the man becomes sinful out of ignorance only. The result and effect of sinful life is suffering. Those who are not knowledge who commit violations of standard laws are subject to be punished under criminal laws, and the law of nature is very stringent. If a child touches fire without knowing the thing, he must be burned, even though he is only a child. If a child violates the law of nature, there is no compassion. Only through ignorance does a person violate the law of nature, and when he comes to knowledge, he does not commit any more sinful acts. The king became tired after killing so many animals. When a man comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes aware of the stringent laws of nature and thus becomes a religious person. A religious person is sort of like animals. But in this Krishna consciousness movement, such persons come to a sense of understanding things as they are and abandon the four principles of prohibited activities, namely illicit sex life, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. This is the beginning of religious life. Those who are so-called religious and indulge in these four principal self-prohibited activities are pseudo-religious. Religious life and sinful activities cannot parallel one another. If one is serious in accepting a religious life or a path of salvation, must adhere to the four basic rules and regulations. However sinful a man may be, if he receives knowledge from the proper spiritual master or repents his past activities, if a sinful life stops him, he becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. This is made possible just by following the rules and regulations given by the Shastras and following the bona fide spiritual master. At present, the whole world is on the verge of retiring from a blind materialistic civilization, which may be likened to hunting animals in the forest. People should take advantage of this Christian consciousness movement and leave their troublesome life of killing. It is said that the killers of animals should neither live nor die. If they live only to kill animals and enjoy women, life is not very prosperous. And as such, and as soon as the killer dies, he enters the cycle of birth and death of the lower species of life. This is also not desirable. The conclusion is that killers should retire from the killing business and take this Krishna consciousness movement to make life perfect. A confused, frustrated man cannot get relief by committing suicide because suicide will simply lead aim to take birth in the lower species of life or remain as a ghost, unable to retain the ghost material body. Therefore, the perfect course is to retire altogether from sinful activities and take up Krishna consciousness in this way, one can become completely perfect and go back home. Gotcha. When King Prajna was hunting in this way, many animals from the forest lost their lives with great pain, being pierced by the sharp arrowheads. Upon seeing these devastating ghastly activities performed by the king, all the people who were merciful by nature became very unhappy. Such merciful persons could not tolerate seeing all this killing. In this way, King Prajna killed many animals, including rabbits, boars, buffalo, bison, black deer, porcupines, and other game animals. After killing and killing, the king became very tired. So the purpose of Narada Muni was to stop the sacrifices in which animals were killed, because the king was addicted to these sacrifices. Now, of course, the sacrifices are prescribed in the Vedas, and in this way, at least, there is some restriction on the killing of animals. But as we see, at the time of Buddha, they actually misuse the rules and excessively killed animals and did sacrifices simply to cause suffering to more animals and to take pleasure in the meat, etc. So one can take advantage of the rules of scripture, which are meant to be a restriction, and instead enjoy the material world, and consequently the laws themselves no longer applicable, and therefore they become sinful. So we misuse the laws, then we cannot say that I'm still sinful because I'm following scripture. We actually misuse the laws, and therefore we commit sinful activities. This will be shown later, where there's a vision of the king where he, after his death, he is afflicted by all the animals he killed. So in other words, he was not free of sin in his particular execution of sacrifices, though theoretically he should be, because sacrifices do not incur bad karma, they produce good karma. But because he misused the rule in order to increase the sacrifices, killing of animals, he indulged in sinful activity. So therefore, one has to be very careful. Even if there are prescriptions for enjoying through scripture and which guarantee no suffering as a result, still, if one misuses those rules, then one will end up suffering more. So here we see excessive killing of animals. The king went to the forest and he killed not a few animals, but he killed a lot of animals, and therefore the people in general criticized this, and they could not tolerate the excessive killing that he did. So in other words, he did something which was not proper, so that even the citizens would criticize him. So this means that the king, King Prajna Bharata, he actually did excessive killing of animals. And therefore it was not proper. So here the King Prajna is following this process of addiction to the killing of animals on the pretense that this is not sinful. But actually, you will accrue sinful reaction for this. So therefore the rules that we have, which give us some sort of sense enjoyment, they have to be executed very, very carefully and not exploited for our own purposes. In the same way we have, for instance, the rule, the aparadha, seventh aparadha is that one should not commit sinful activity on the strength of the holy name. So one can commit sinful activity and the Lord forgives that. But if we take advantage of that and commit a lot of sinful activities with the idea that the Lord doesn't mind, and then it becomes greater aparadha. So the same thing applies to this, where they take advantage of the rule and misuse the rule, and then they incur sinful activity as a result. So the rules that do allow some sort of sense gratification must be very carefully applied. We'll see these rules in all scriptures. They have different rules and restrictions on eating, etc. So they have to be applied very carefully, not simply used to increase the sense gratification. So he was actually excessive, though apparently he shouldn't have, because he was following rules. Still, it was excessive, and therefore he got bad results for this. And, of course, it says here that then he became tired of this. So one can be tired in various ways. Just by over-sense gratification, we obviously tire our senses out. That, of course, is only temporary, and again, later on, we will do the same thing again. The other way of getting tired is after so much enjoyment in the material world, then we give up that enjoyment and we look for higher things. So this, of course, is the repetition of birth and death, in which we get experience of enjoyment life after life, and we also get suffering. So after all of those experiences many, many times, then there, by chance, or by good fortune, some people become disgusted with this process, and they go for higher truth. So usually this will happen in Sattva-gun, not in the lower modes. So therefore, this is one of the purposes of rebirth in the material world, so that after many, many experiences, the jiva will decide that this is this identification with material body and the repeated birth and death and enjoyment and suffering is not a very good process. And he becomes indifferent to it. We find the same example given in by Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto, where he talks about the Avanti Brahmana. He was going through his materialistic life and everything, and enjoying and being selfish and whatever, and then finally was kicked out of the house by his family members. And then finally he became disgusted with everything, and he gave up things, and he became a sannyasi as a result of this. So after many experiences of material world, then he decided this is not proper, and he renounced everything. Or another example is given of Pingala, the prostitute. Finally, after seeing realizing her condition, she gave up everything and simply surrendered to the Lord. So there are cases where, by enjoying and suffering in the material world, people finally come to the realization it's hopeless, so they give it up and they follow the spiritual process. So that is the other way in which one becomes disgusted. However, we see, because the jiva is in the material world for so long, it takes a long time for that to happen. So birth after birth, the jiva does not realize this. Therefore, he takes so many births in the material world. So normally, he may become temporarily disgusted with one type of enjoyment, but then he will look for another type of enjoyment. So he may get tired from hunting, but then he'll go back and seek some other enjoyment in his house. So this is the conduct of most of the jivas in the material world. They will shift from one type of enjoyment to another, looking for some satisfaction. So therefore, their fatigue is temporary, and they will simply try another process later on. And therefore, they take repeated births and deaths in the material world. So the killing of animals here is emphasized because of the violence involved. So we have various types of sinful activity, such as illicit sex activity, gambling, cheating of all sorts, etc. But the killing of animals is considered to be very, very sinful among all the things, and very, very the reactions for killing are more serious than other things. Of course, killing human beings is even worse, so therefore we have great penalties for that. So even in civil law of a country, the greatest penalties are usually for killing human beings. But in normal and regular human societies nowadays, there's no sin for killing the animals. in most cases. Of course, they do, in some cases, arrest people because they tortured their dog or cat or something like that. So they get some punishment, but not great punishment. Maybe they get fined or something, or put in jail for 2 weeks. But normally it does not apply to the animal kingdom at all, only to human beings. But we see in the Vedic civilization that the law equally applies to the animals because of the law of karma. So even though the government may not have the rule, the law of karma will still give you punishment for your sinful activities. So of course this is so even in the Western world, even though there is no state law against the killing of animals, still the people will get the suffering because of the law of karma. So this compensates for the lack of laws in a human civilization. However, in the Vedic society, there were restrictions to some degree, more restrictions than in other societies. So therefore, the killing was restricted to sacrifices. And the higher one goes in the system, the less killing should be done, and less violence should be done. So therefore, violence between two animals as well as human beings was greatly restricted in the Vedic society. So the reason, of course, is that this type of violence upsets the laws of the world. The human being lives in a world with animals and plants and earth, etc. And to unnecessarily kill creates a problem. Now, animals kill animals. Tigers kill to eat, or lions kill to eat, or bears kill, or whatever. They must kill to eat. So there's nothing wrong with that. They don't get karma for that. But, and the killing is not excessive. It is what they need for their life. The human being kills excessively because he doesn't need. And therefore, this upsets the balance in the material world and causes all sorts of problems. And that, of course, is even recognized now in the modern world, because they say that raising animals for slaughter is a waste, and this is destroying the earth. The amount of wastage involved in raising animals for slaughter is so much that if we stopped it, we could save the world. Otherwise, we can't. Ecologically, the world is doomed because of the consumption of meat. So it is a very simple principle, which is recognized in the scriptures. So that is why the restriction was put there on the killing of animals. And this, of course, has its byproduct of violence. Killing of animals and eating them has another byproduct, and that is that it increases the lower gunas in a human being. So violence is in tamagun. So therefore, the killing of animals increases the tamagun of a population and therefore makes them more violent. So in this way, if we have more tamagun society, greater amount of tamagun society, it becomes ultimately unproductive and destructive of itself, self-destructive. So this, of course, is not a healthy society. So the Varnashram society was there to have a productive population, not an unproductive population. So the tamagun and the other gunas were regulated very carefully. But if there is unrestricted violence, then the tamagun element gets very strong and out of control. And there's no way of controlling it once it's out of control. So that is, the reason is, of course, that it permeates everything, so even the people in control cannot control it. So therefore, the Vedic civilization had strict rules on violence and how it was to be applied. So here we find that the king actually overstepped those boundaries, even though he was following the Varnashram society, that is King Prashna Varisha. He overstepped, and therefore he was creating a disturbance. And therefore, Narada Muni tells this story to illustrate the fact that he has to restrain himself.
When someone is going to kill that animal, that means that animal, they got the previous karma or...
What's that?
According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that you cannot kill the soul.
Yeah.
In this case, you see that when the king is going to kill the animal, or someone is going to kill the animal, that animal got the previous karma or...
What, to get killed? No. If that were so, then it's not the king's fault of killing. Then he won't get any reaction for killing them. So if you kill a person, say it's the karma, you get killed, so therefore I don't get any karma for killing him. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So these acts of violence, they have a cause, a responsible cause. If an animal kills an animal, of course there is no karma involved in that at all, and either way. If a human being kills an animal or another human being, he gets karma, which means we cannot blame the animal or the other human being. That's his karma to get killed, so therefore this person does. No. In any case, if a person is killed by another person, we cannot use that excuse that it was his karma to get killed. Certainly his life may be limited. He may have a lifespan of 30 years. He may die in a traffic accident or get killed by another person, whatever. There's so many ways he could get killed. So in that sense, yes, if he gets killed by another person, then we could say it's his karma. But that the person did it, that's another thing. So the responsibility of the person that kills him is still there. So in this way, we cannot blame karma for a person killing another person. The person's personal decision, and therefore he must suffer the results of that.
It sounds very strange that one can get tired of happiness in the universe.
Well, that is so. If one gets the same happiness all the time, then one gets tired of it, and one looks for a different type of happiness. So that is the problem in the material world. Once we get to a certain level of happiness, then we get tired of that, then we got to get another type of happiness, then we get tired of that, then we get another type of happiness. All there in the material world all the time. So we get the kings of the material world aspire to get heavenly happiness, and they go to Svargaloka. They get tired of that. They want to go to Brahmaloka. So that they get all sorts of happiness. And still, after a certain time, it gets boring. It's not fully satisfying.
What is the representation of citizens? Citizens who are criticizing.
Yeah.
In this analogy, what does it that?
No, I don't think it has any particular analogy here. It's just this is only the thing to show that the hunting of animals and killing them for sacrifice was wrong on the part of the king.
No, but usually the hunting that is done as an army, people learn the skills of fighting. And normal skills in family.
Yeah, to that extent it's okay, but beyond that it's not.
Then killing of animal. So is it mode of ignorance or?
Ignorance.
But sacrifice?
Then it's not. Under normal cases. But if it's excessive, then again it becomes ignorance.
And on these sacrifices, they are giving our new life of animal.
Yeah, but if it's done excessively for no particular purpose other than to kill the animal, and then, okay, well, sacrifices, then we're free from sin, then it becomes ignorance. Sacrifices have certain purposes involved, and if we don't have a purpose of the sacrifices to kill the animal, then we're going to sacrifice it to get free from sin. It's the same as committing sins like the of the strength of the holy name. We're exploiting the rule just to kill the animal. So then we get sin for that.
But in Bhagavad Gita, if you kill this life from animal, they are waiting for next life, they will kill quickly. They will continue like this?
Well, that's only an analogy. It's not exactly that animal is going to come back and kill you. Then in the next lifetime you kill the animal, and the next lifetime the animal kills you. It would be an endless cycle like that. So it's not necessarily like that. That is only illustration to show that one will get the similar violence on oneself, that's all.
One thing, you see, in Sanskrit, mams, some meaning is there.
Yeah, I kill the animal kills me, mamsa.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's, as I said, it's not literal, it's figurative.
Jai 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 Jai